Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Pleased to spend some time with Mark Herzlick, former Giants linebacker and Super Bowl champion. And I really do like asking members of the football fraternity the question about the fans. Mark, could you imagine being in a gigantic football stadium and playing a game and not having anyone in the seats?
Well, so it's funny because, you know, I played a few games in college where we barely had any fans. You know, certain times, you know, where either we weren't good or we played someone who wasn't very good. You know, the ACC kind of, you know, goes either way, where you could have tons of fans of Virginia Tech, but you go down to Wake Forest and there's barely anyone there. So, you know, I've played in those environments and they are weird. And, you know, I couldn't imagine it in the NFL, really, because, I mean, there's just like, there's always a hum, right? There's always, even if it's not a big roar or anything, but there's always people there. And I think that, you know, certain teams would really be, you know, hurt by it. Obviously, New Orleans and Kansas City, two of like the loudest places I've ever played.
So, all right. So if we get to that point and it requires pumped in crowd noise, Mark, I know that's a staple for practices. Would that be weird, do you think? Or do you think that eventually teams would get used to it?
Right, teams will get used to it. I mean, in reality, the amount of time that, you know, when you're actually playing football that you even realize that there's fans in the stands is minimal, right? Like, you know, maybe after a scoring play or you know, you're getting yelled at on the sideline, on the bench or something by somebody, then you realize they're there. But for the most part, you know, you just kind of focus on what's happening on the field. So, I think guys will get used to it. I think it'd just be, you know, it'll be unfortunate, but at the same time, would much, much rather have there be football and no fans. I just don't know how you do that. I don't know how you say, hey, it's not safe for fans, but we're going to have, you know, 22 guys go and bump into each other and sweat all over each other and bleed on each other. I don't know how that's possible.
Yeah, it is interesting. You do both college and pro football analysis. So which would be stranger? Which would take away from the atmosphere more, the NFL or college?
I think college would take away more. I mean, I think the ability for, you know, NFL and the networks to make games look amazing on TV, I think it's there, right? You know, you can see all the camera angles, you can kind of see everything. But I think one thing that makes the college game so special is the students, right? You get like the students, and you have the traditions and the stands and the tailgating. So I just think that, you know, it's more atmospherical, if that's even a word, in the college game than, you know, in the pros. And, you know, gosh, I guess I couldn't even imagine a Penn State-Michigan game without 100,000 people there. I mean, you just, that would be insane.
Or Ohio State and the Horseshoe, or some of the, you know, like the Florida, Georgia, or anything like that. It would just feel so empty. For sure. Atmospherical. I like it. It's a new word created by Mark Herzlick, a former Giant, as well as now an analyst for NFL and college. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So that's one issue that the football world is kind of dealing with, though it's a bit down the road, which is nice. What are the challenges of trying to learn a playbook or trying to get acclimated as a rookie or even joining a new team? We found out recently that Joe Flacco is now a member of the New York Jets. So whatever it is, what are the challenges of doing this without being able to see your peeps in person?
Well, I think, first of all, obviously there's a challenge. It's different. it's interesting. I equated a little bit to back in going into the 2011 season when the NFL was having a lockout. I mean, at this point right now where we are, you know, still in what would be spring football, you know, we're not in uncharted territories. You know, there was no spring football. There was, you know, no communication at all in those times. And so, you know, I came in to the New York Giants as a rookie that year. So I literally didn't even know I was going to be a New York Giant until July. And that's when we got our playbooks the first day at camp. And so, you know, I think that there is a blueprint for how this could go if you miss all of spring. And so, you know, I know right now, you know, I've talked to a couple of the strength coaches that around the league. You know, they say it's just, it's difficult because right now, you know, you don't know what equipment guys have access to. You know,
right.
they're professional athletes, but, you know, a lot of them rely on being at facilities to work out. So, you know, every single training regimen is specifically customized to each specific player. You know, I talked to one college coach who said that he has his linebacker squatting his German Shepherd because that's the heaviest thing that he can find in his house.
That's insane. So, you know,
yeah, so I mean, I think that right now you can see everything happen normally, right? But I think if you start getting into that training camp and eating away at that, it's going to be, you know, really difficult for the young guys, but even, you know, even the vets to just get in football shape mentally and physically.
Mm. Is there one side of the ball that might have an advantage if, let's say, training camps are interrupted or they don't get in person until August, potentially? Is it the defense or the offense that would have the greatest advantage or the greatest disadvantage, I guess?
Absolutely defense. I mean, defense is – anytime you have the first scrimmage in training camp, the defense dominates. I don't care what team you are. I don't care whether you know, you're the number one rated offense in the league or Tom Brady or Drew Brees or whatever. Defense wins just because so much about the offense is timing. And just at the end of the day on defense, if you don't know what you're doing and you get the old, like, you know, hound dog mentality, like, see ball, get ball, I'm just going to go tackle anything that's moving, usually you're right. So, I mean, I think that defense – defensive coaches love, like, short weeks, right? You're like, let's just throw the game plan out and go and just tackle the guys because the offense can't put in all these trick plays and stuff. So, I mean, that's my answer, plain and simple. I know I'm a defender and a linebacker, former linebacker, so, you know, I usually side that way. But, yeah, it's easier to just go hit someone on defense.
I guess if nothing else, as you say, you see the ball, you go after it, but you just hit somebody. Hit anybody.
Yeah, hit anybody. And if you put someone on their rear end and they can't do their job, that's a win. I mean, you'll probably get graded a plus. So, I mean, that's always a good thing.
Mark Herzlick is a former Giants Super Bowl champ and now a football analyst with us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I want to talk about the safety a little bit, Mark. You're a cancer survivor. It's not as though every professional athlete, while they're in world-class shape, that they don't also have other health challenges. There are different guys in different positions. When you think about the safety of being back on the football field, and as you say, blood and sweat's flying around, what are your concerns?
Well, I think that, you know, the biggest concern is that you see right now that I guess age matters, right? But at the same time, you see cases of 30, 31, 32-year-old people getting this illness with no prior history and then passing away. I mean, yeah, I think that it's so erratic in the way it affects different people that becomes the fear. I mean, you know, God forbid, you know, a fan comes to a game and gets it and passes away, or you know, a player gets it from being at the facility, and then what happens? So, you know, I think that there is a fine balance that, you know, will have to be towed between, you know, safety of really everybody involved and, you know, the willingness to go out and play. And I think that, you know, it's a decision that's going to have to come down to not only in the NFL, the owners, but also the union, right? I mean, they can't just say, hey, we're going to go play football again. And then, you know, the labor union, you know, it's got to be like, well, it's not safe. Like, how is that safe? Or maybe they both decide that they're going to. But, you know, I think it's much less of a one-sided deal. So, you know, I think everybody wants the same thing. Everybody wants this to go away and us to go play football again. But, you know, we'll see how soon that happens.
Well, for the players that you've spoken with, maybe former teammates, just kind of the pulse, at this point, do you think the majority of guys do want to play and would be willing to take whatever risk comes with it?
I think, first of all, everybody wants to play. And I think that everybody's proceeding right now like they are going to play. And okay. I think that's the only way to do it when you're actually in it. But I think, you know, the same way guys feel differently about, you know, concussions, the same way guys feel differently about, you know, playing on different types of fields that, you know, hey, if I play on this messed up field, and I tear my ACL, I might never be able to play again. It's, you know, if I go and get COVID and get seriously ill from this, like, will I miss the season and never be able to play again? I mean, I think it's gonna be a personal decision, but I think, yes, most of the guys, you know, want to play. I think that it's going to see how much they can mitigate that risk.
Mark, you were a giant for your career, and the Giants have gone through, you know, some transformation. In fact, a couple rounds over the last couple of seasons here. But what did you like from Daniel Jones when you saw him on the field once he took over for Eli?
I mean, I loved his accuracy. I mean, I watched him play in college. I got to call one of his games when he was at Duke, and, you know, we knew he was tough. You know, we knew that he was a big guy. You know, we knew that he was smart. But how accurate was he going to be in college? Because he doesn't have the strongest. I mean, it's not like he throws a zip on the pass every single time. But he just, like, seems to drop it right in the bucket every time. You know, I kind of think of it like, you know, someone's throwing darts, right? And you talk about quarterbacks throwing darts all the time. And then, you know, it just seems like Deion Jones is playing beer pong almost. I mean, it's like he, like, just, like, drops that right in the bucket every single time, right in that back left solo cup. And he does it so well. And, you know, I think that's what was most exciting for me is that, you know, there is a really rare talent to be able to throw a gentle pass on target, right? And your completion percentage goes up when you can do that because it's easier to catch on the back end for guys. But I think what quarterbacks struggle with is when you don't have that zip, when it's time to force it in there, you know, how can you do it? So I think, you know, that's going to be his development process. Some of those crossing routes over the middle, how can you force those in when he needs to?
The Giants have a new head coach, and he, you know, he's a younger guy. He's been in coaching for 15 years, and he's got, you know, other coaches like Bill Belichick and Nick Saban singing his praises. How much does it matter in a locker room if he comes from a program? I mean, he's a new coach, so everyone's getting to know him, but comes from a program that has a winning tradition and that has produced rings.
I mean, I think it matters. I think that the question right off the bat is, did he get this job because he was with a winning organization, or is he a great coach? And those can be mutually exclusive, but they don't have to be, right?
Right.
So, you know, the hope is that not only was he with an winning organization, but he's also a great coach. And I think that you find that out pretty quickly when you're in the locker room with him. Anytime you're a first-time head coach, there's going to be just learning phases.
Right.
So, you know, my impression of him was, you know, I met him a couple times and talked to him, just basic football stuff. But, you know, talked to some guys who were in the locker rooms, not necessarily wide receivers at the Patriots, but, you know, were around him. And they said that he's got a brain for it. I mean, he just knows football really well. And yeah, I think the real question that we are going to remain to be seen is, you know, how does he treat discipline matters? How does he do logistically in the office? I mean, you know, a lot of times coordinators, you know, become great head coaches when they can not only know football well, but know how to manage people well, right? And that's what sometimes, you know, great coordinators don't make it at the head coaching level because they don't have that CEO quality that you need as a head coach in the NFL.
Right. Former Giants linebacker Mark Herzlich also was at Boston College and so is now doing the analysis for both NFL and the college game because we're going to have football this fall. I'm believing it. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Before I let you go, people know you for the work that you do in your community with a couple of different charities. And I know that this is a challenging spring for really anybody and anything that we want to do, but how has it affected the work that you do with your charitable organizations?
Yeah, so, you know, on the board of a few different charities, and, you know, one being actually Tom Coughlin's J Fund, which is, you know, raises money for families who have children battling pediatric cancer. And you know, obviously that becomes a real issue with you know, health pandemic out there. But, you know, we've been able to do some Instagram live videos and see some of these kids and write them letters and send them videos, which I think has been, you know, really cool as this whole, like, home video thing is the norm now. And then, you know, the other two that I'm on the board of, A Call to Men is one of them, and the Joyful Heart Foundation. They're both domestic violence prevention charities. And what we've seen is that domestic violence rates have just skyrocketed during the pandemic, because everyone is at home. You know, there's no escape. There's, you know, there's people just, you know, taking their anger out on their spouses or their domestic partners. And, you know, there's not an easy outlet for people to go because everyone's trapped. So I think, you know, we've been trying, you know, kind of as hard as we can to provide outlets for people to report domestic violence. And then, you know, as you said, raising money right now is difficult. Obviously, you know, there's a financial downturn in the economy, but also, you know, we can't do events. And so, you know, donations are absolutely welcome. And, you know, the biggest thing is to try to keep people safe from things like, you know, a domestic partner violence when, you know, everybody's locked in their house.
A lot of different ways to be on the front lines during a situation that affects so many hundreds of millions of people. You can find Mark on Twitter, and there's ways to get in touch there and find more information at Mark Herzlich. And I think we've crossed paths before in like my previous life and previous stops, but it's great to have you on the show and to hear your perspective, Mark. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, thank you. I had a great time, and hopefully I'll be on again.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.